Welcome to the Founding Members Club call for today. It's one of the recaps. I'm going to go ahead and hide myself so no one talks to me on Skype. So don't have to worry about that. So, I just dumped an entirely full glass of red wine all over my floor, my white carpet on my floor. So that's why I'm starting a little bit late here. I had to clean that up. Or just cleaned up as best I could. I guess I can't really do it fully. But besides that, though, I'm feeling all right, and I'm feeling pretty good. We got a lot of questions from last time that we didn't know how to answer because we didn't know how to see them. So now we actually see all the questions. So if you are listening online, just got a question. So if you do have any questions and you are listening online, then you want to make sure you type those questions into the Q&A box there and hit submit. We will be getting your questions. We just got another one. So we have lots of stuff to talk about, lots of questions to answer, and we should be able to just jump straight into the content here. I'm going to go ahead and pull up what we talked about last time so I can have that here. Normally, I'm totally prepared for this, but right now, things are different. All right, cool. So ultimately, last time, we were talking about attraction. And we went all the way down through each of the stages of attraction, and it took up the entire hour and a half. So this time I'm going to briefly go over what we talked about last time, and then we're going to sort of go into the Q&A part of all this, which is really my favorite part anyway. Again, if you do have any questions, you can press *2 if you're not listening online, or if you are listening online and you see that sort of Q&A window, you can go on there and submit your question, and we will get to it this time because we know how to find them now. Last time, we got like 7 questions, and we didn't even know they were there. So very happy to do that. Already got a question here. So I'm going to go ahead and jump straight into what we talked about last time and sort of briefly go over attraction and then clear up time so we can have time to talk about and answer the questions on hand. By the way, Brad is here, just so you know.
What's up, guys? I witnessed the wine debacle.
Yeah. I was like, it's like every time it'll happen, it's like 6:01. I was like, okay, it's time to get started. Hit the button, and then wine falls over. And I'm like, shit. The first thing I say on the call is shit. So now I'm drinking wine out of a mason jar. So no big deal. Classy motherfucker. That's what I am. So let's go ahead and go over the different stages of attraction first. And let's see what we can drum up and sort of remind you of. The goal from last week was to take this information that you find, that you know now, about the different stages of attraction out into the real world and recognize and see whenever people are in certain stages. That way, someone's in the attraction stage, you can know, and you can push forward to the rapport stage, and then from there, push forward to the seduction stage. And from there, if you want to be exclusive or be in a real relationship with them, you can push forward to the relationship balance stage. So essentially what happens is as soon as you meet somebody, most guys think they have problems with attraction. So they start there. And as soon as you meet somebody, you're in the stage of attraction. Now, if you know that there are several stages of attraction and you know what they are, then you can actually push forward and get to any stage that you want. If you want to be in the seduction stage where she's sexually attracted to you, you can do that. If you want to make a deep emotional connection, you can do that. But if you don't see what stage you're in, you can never do that, ever. So you have to do it. It's what's called seeing the matrix. So you want to be able to see the matrix, and you want to be able to recognize that you're in a certain stage during attraction versus, you know, maybe a later stage during attraction. And so the goal and the exercise from last week was to, or from a yeah from last week's call, was to take this information and begin to attempt to see what stage you're in the process of attraction and in the system in the interaction map. And the focus originally is just to see the different subtle stages of attraction. It's sort of a fine-tuned skill set, and if you can tell, it took me several months to be able to get this down. So it's probably going to take you a little while trying to really pay attention. So you can tell which stage you're in down to a T. Like you can tell, oh, I'm in demonstrating high value stage. I tried to move forward to the qualifying stage. She wasn't going for it, so I had to bounce back to this stage, build more value, and then go forward, and it worked. And you'll be able to find out stuff like that and sort of think on the fly and really be able to correct the problems as they happen instead of getting so far down the road where you've screwed up so much that now you don't know what to do and it's unfixable. So Brad, if you want to, I'd like for you to sort of go into the attraction part of this from the very beginning here and sort of explain your version of this, if that's okay with you.
Sure, yeah. So we started off by talking about basically, you know, what is attraction, and, you know, the biggest misconception there is that most people think attraction is basically seduction, and attraction really boils down to curiosity. So that's something you have to keep in mind, is that attraction is nothing more than creating curiosity in somebody. And another sort of misconception, I guess, is that women are attracted to the same things that men are. And so it's important to realize that when you're talking to a woman, the same things that might be, just might be attractive or, you know, kind of impressive or whatever to men are not the same for women. So, so we can't know that what exactly is attractive to women.
Attractive to women?
Attractive, yes.
sorry, it's hard to talk while you're watching me do weird shit over here with this carpet. So essentially, the point is that what most guys do is they sit back and they think, well, I like this in a girl. Like, I like a girl who, moves like this, who acts like this, who's sort of sly like this and coy like this. And so they start accidentally mimicking those qualities in women, and then they come across as being extremely feminine. And, they get asked the question, are you gay, a lot? And so if you want to avoid it, not actually being asked, are you gay, is not a bad thing. That's completely fine. But not knowing what to say back to that and not having women be attracted to you is a bad thing. So instead of going through that process, what you want to do is you want to recognize that women are attracted to very different things than men are, extremely different things than men are. And men are attracted to a lot of things that are extremely physical, extremely surface-oriented, very sexual in nature, and very sexual in the beginning of an interaction. And and women typically need a lot more filtering and a lot more rapport building in order to feel completely comfortable, or they need a series of actions that need to happen, basically steps that they don't really know they need. And when someone hits this process in the right order, it works. And someone skips around in the process, it doesn't work. So you want to make sure that you go through this process in order so that you can put your best foot forward, essentially, and have the best chance of attracting any kind of woman. Now, when I first started doing this and I started seeing the matrix, quote unquote, I recognized that there weren't really too many women that I couldn't attract. So I started out thinking, oh, well, you know, I'll do this and I'll have a better chance, and maybe I'll attract, you know, a few more women than I normally would. But that's not really how it was. I ended up being able to attract any woman I really wanted. There's only a couple times, maybe a month or so, that I would approach somebody and they just really weren't interested in me. And over time, I kind of figured out why that was too. So I was able to hone it down and make it even better. But ultimately, I thought that I was getting into this thinking that I would just have a quick fix and maybe I'd be able to attract and increase, you know, the amount of women that were attracted to me slightly. But I ended up being able to do it drastically, to the point where I had a really amazing confidence when I was around women. So that's sort of what you're on that path yourself. So you want to make sure that you focus on taking the time to really understand what stage you're in during this process, during the attraction process. If you skip this process of where you're trying to figure it out and trying to sorry, I'm just making sure I get everything handled here. We're getting more questions, and I just want to make sure I approve of them. If you skip that process of trying to be able to see what stage you're in, then you will be sort of lost forever. You won't have any direction. You won't have any control. You'll be sort of helpless during that process, and women will not be attracted to you. So you want to make sure that you do get this down, that you do find success with this, that you're not, you know, sort of failing over and over again at this and wondering what the hell's going on. So you want to make sure you can see this matrix. See the matrix. That's your goal. And the first stage of the three different sections of attraction. So there are attractions broken down into three different things, three different parts. They are introduction or approach or whatever you want to call it, sort of the beginning part, the demonstrating high value stage, and the qualifying stage. So, and during the introduction part, where you're sort of being curious and creating that curiosity, then you're sort of becoming a blip on the radar of people that exist in the world for her. She didn't know that you existed, that you were even a person, and then you sort of popped up, and now she has an impression of you. So this is important. Most guys think that when they first introduce themselves to women, it's whenever they walk up and talk to them and they open their mouths the first time. That's not the case. When you walk up and talk to her, that's usually the stage where guys first screw it up. It's not the stage where they first introduce themselves. Women are extremely astute and they are aware of your presence immediately. And actually, they're aware so immediately that sometimes you have no idea that they've been watching you. And that's why it's important to have really dominant and confident and powerfully attractive body language all the time as a default, so that when you do run into a woman and she sees you for the first time, she's not seeing you in a state that's very low quality, low value at that moment. So you want to make sure you do that.
Yeah, I have a comment on that, actually. I'm a pretty tall guy. I'm 6'3". So if any of you guys happen to be tall as well, there's something that I didn't even realize I was doing until pretty recently in body language, which is that we have a tendency to, even if we have like good posture in the chest and we learn to stand up straight, we have a tendency to keep our heads bent, you know, forward. And I think that's just sort of like a, well, I don't know, we're used to ducking, you know, or not making people feel small, maybe.
That's what it is. Whenever really tall guys lean their heads forward, it's because they don't want to intimidate people. And we start out with this being, whenever we're younger, people look at us and we're tall and everyone's staring at us and we don't want to be stared at. We want to fit in. So we start lowering our heads and trying to be smaller. And then over time, we continue to do this because we know that people feel more comfortable whenever we do that. And so what ends up happening is we end up lowering our heads and being submissive on accident constantly if we're taller. I don't have that problem. I'm not tall. So I don't have that issue. But if you are tall, you are going to have that issue. We have all these little compensating factors that we do.
Yeah.
Stay right, sir. Yeah.
You know, part of this introduction part is, you know, a lot of guys will think that, okay, I'm going out tonight, you know, I'm going to the club or whatever, and start amping themselves up for it. And they just kind of like try to put themselves in the zone and ignore everything else until they walk through the doors of the club or the bar or whatever. But it's really, you know, doing yourself a disservice to focus on the point at which you walk through those doors as the start of your night, you know, the time where you're going to start using the knowledge that you have and start practicing. Because a lot of times, I mean, there will be, like, if you're walking down a busy street, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to meet people as you're going to the club or as you're...
Or coffee shop or bar,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, I know in the past, for example, a really good example is, you know, when I was going to the club that I was going to be hanging out at for the night, I was standing outside in line and I looked over and, you know, there was this cute girl and we met eyes or whatever, and she just did this silly little dance. So I did a silly little dance and we didn't say anything, but, you know, later on we ended up meeting on the dance floor, and then I was able to go through the other stages, but I just knew that, you know, because I was open to that sort of just fun interaction from the very, like, before I even walked through the door, that opened the opportunity for me to talk to her later, you know.
That's interesting, because we have these associations in our minds with certain places and certain results. So, for example, people think of school and they think learning. And when they leave the classroom, they find it very difficult to learn, because they're gone. They're not in the classroom anymore. So, but there's so many more opportunities to learn outside the classroom than there are within the classroom. So lots more. So whenever you get to a place where you're like, oh, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to get in there, I'm going to meet a bunch of women. You know, there's, as long as you're thinking that, you're not going to be using the body language you need on the way there. And like you're saying, when you're in line, you're going to run into a lot of the girls that are going to be inside this bar and this club or whatever, you know, wherever you are. If you're walking in the door, you know, people are going to be seeing you for the first time. If you're thinking, I'm going to turn this on, it's all going to work, and then I'm going to turn it off, and that's the end of that, you're wrong. It's not going to happen like that. You're going to turn it on before anybody sees you that day, and it's got to be rocking and rolling whenever you meet people. So it's really interesting to think that when someone meets you for the first time, it's much, much more important than if they're meeting you for the third, fourth, fifth time. So when they meet you for the first time, they're taking in a lot of information. They're making a lot of judgments about you and a lot of things based on what you're currently doing right then. So, you know, if you go to a place and you're having a bad night and then you come back the next week and you're having a great night and you're all confident, the people who saw you the week before are not going to assume that that was the first state they saw you in was a state that was wrong and this new one's right. They're going to assume that something happened and you feel really happy right now, but normally you're just kind of a miserable dude. And that's what's really important, is that we find it easier for us to accept strange people or excited people or confident people or submissive people or whatever, accept that they are those things whenever the first time we see them, then we are willing to readdress those and reconsider to think that maybe they're something else, maybe that's not really who they are. So you want to keep that in mind. In the moment in which you're there, you want to make sure that you know, you have that focus, you have that attraction, and you have that powerful body language. I want to get to a question. I think that the person who asked the question now is actually gone from this call because they had to run. But I want, just in case they're still here, I'm going to go ahead and ask it. It says they had a question. The question is, if I would address talking to women on the beach, which is funny because I just did an interview with who was that? Scott McKay. Yeah, Scott McKay. It was all about meeting women on the beach, meeting women during summertime and swimming places, things like that. And then the other question is how to market sort of the alpha status on online dating sites like OkCupid or Plenty of Fish and places like that. So first I'm going to address the beach thing because we just ended up talking about this. I'm a surfer and I surf now as much as I can, I guess. I just got another wetsuit. It's cold here in the water. So I'm surfing again, and I know for sure that women who are right by the water are easier to approach than women who are laying down. Women who are like standing up and getting in the water are easier to talk to. And in fact, any woman that's standing up, period, is going to be easier to talk to than if she's laying down. So I'm of an abundance mentality typically. Women aren't going to be laying down on the beach forever. They're going to get up and they're going to walk around at some point, you know. And when they walk around, it's probably when I'd prefer to talk to them. So I would rather that I wait and just talk to women who are standing up at that moment and then come join their group than try to approach a woman who's laying down and sunbathing and talk to her there, because she may automatically feel annoyed at the idea that she's not even has to turn around in the first place, and that's not a very good way to start it off. But if you are going to be doing it, if you're there with a couple of friends, which is probably the best way to do this, if you're by yourself, it's a little more difficult, but if you can get a couple of your friends together and you can go to the beach, not with the purpose of wanting to pick up women, but if you go to the beach just to have a good time, like, throwing a frisbee or throwing a football or whatever, and you have like a football or a dog or something, you absolutely need to use that to your advantage. I mean, throwing the football past somebody is like the oldest, you know, chick getting trick in the book. I mean, it's like that they were doing that shit back in, you know, back when surfing started, you know, back when the beach was invented, you know. And so you want to make sure that you take very strong advantage of that. It's got another question here. Very strong advantage of that. And you want to make sure that you are, make sure that you're taking the time to feel patient around that space and also not being afraid to try something that's been tried and been proven a bajillion times and definitely does work. Especially something as silly as like throwing a football and missing and then having to go over there and asking them to throw it back and then making fun of them for throwing like a girl, you know, things like that. Another thing to do is when you do start talking to them and you just start getting along, don't, you know, it's going to be really difficult to talk to a woman who's got a bathing suit on that's hot. Because as men, we typically look at tits and ass. That's what we do, especially if it's right in our faces all the time. So what you need to do is practice being able to block out everything except her face. We used to have you're lucky, Brad, that you didn't have to go through this. But we used to have part of the training program where we would have a student bring in $50. And then we'd go to the bank and we'd get changed into ones. Then we'd go to a strip club. We'd sit them down in the front row of the strip club and we'd talk to the strippers and we'd say, give me a look. Only $1 per, you know, every time she comes around, don't give her more than that. And this is going to last you an hour and a half. So we'd talk to the strippers and we'd go, if he looks anywhere but your eyes, let me know. So, and we'd tell him, your job is to make eye contact, solely eye contact. So that whenever you talk to a woman, you've got power, you've got presence, you know, even though she's wearing whatever she's wearing. Women pride themselves in distracting men with their bodies, especially good-looking women. So what you want to do is be not distracted by her body. You need to be totally sucked into her eyes and just looking at her eyes. And so you need to practice that, you know, practice having something there you want to look at and not looking at it, you know, It's kind of like putting a, you know, a stake on the ground and telling a dog to sit. You know, we have to do this to ourselves. I had to do it to myself. That's actually coming more handy than anything else in my relationship, because now I can be like, this girl over there, don't look. And I don't need to look, you know. Before, I would just like catch myself looking over there before I really learned how to do this. And now I have a lot more control over that. By the way, she's not in the room right now, just so you know. I'm not saying that because she's in the room. That's the truth. So you want to make sure that you are able to do that in the first place. If you don't feel comfortable doing that and you're going to be looking at her body, then you have to be playful about it when she calls you out or if she sees you do it. You know, the best way to do it is to go, wow, you've got an amazing ass. Spin around for a second. Damn, that's amazing. Do you work out? Where do you work out? You know, blah, blah, blah. Like, you worked hard for that, didn't you? I bet this is going to make your day. You know, but women really love to be complimented on their bodies when it's not in a needy way. A guy who compliments them on their body in a way that to get them in bed is easy to pick up for women. And that's really a huge turnoff. That's creepy. And why is it creepy? Because the guy who's doing it is trying to jump straight to seduction. And when you skip stages in the map of interaction, women think that's creepy. So you do not want to do that. In the beginning, you're just trying to build curiosity. So whenever you do it, you're speaking in a way that's going to allow her to think that you're just different than most guys she's met. One way that to show that you're different is to, again, be comfortable with women who are in bathing suits. So you want to make sure that you do that. For if you're going to be meeting women on the beach. And then also you have a note on here. Oh, just before I continue, if you do have a dog, damn, use it. If you don't have a dog and you can borrow one, do it. Go to the beach with a dog, man. It's the easiest way to meet women in the universe. The dog will run up. The dog will be playful. The dog will be, oh my God, they're cute. If you have a mangy, ugly little chihuahua with like three strands of hair, looks like it just crawled out of a, you know, Tales from the Crypt video, then you don't want to bring that dog, obviously. But if you do have a cute dog, you know, bring the dog out to the beach. Let it run around. It'll approach women because women will be like, oh my God, a cute dog. And it'll be like, oh my God, someone's looking at me. And then it'll walk over there. And then just start talking to her. But you have to be bantering. You have to be playful and fun during that time. If you try to skip that and not be playful and not be bantering, then again, you're going to screw yourself up here. The rules and the system still applies regardless of what you're, you know, what situation you're in. So make sure you do that. And the last question that he had here was, how do you market alpha status on Plenty of Fish or OkCupid? I'll give you probably the best tip you'll ever get for online dating sites. This is the best thing you'll ever do. Hands down, it's 90% of getting a woman on an online dating site. And that is pretending like you need to filter women out. In your profile, you have to go, look, if you're not interesting, if you're not smart, if you're not open to trying new things and traveling and love conversation, if you're not into red wine and not box wine, you know, if you're into box wine, don't talk to me. If you're not into red wine or real wine, then don't, or good wine, don't talk to me. You know, and you just list these things, maybe five or six things that, you know, a girl who would be a complete douchebag version of a girl would be like, oh, well, this guy doesn't want me to do this, so I'm not going to do this. So what you end up doing whenever you start to qualify women like this is it seems like you get so many messages that, you now have to put a disclaimer up on your page. And when you do that, women are assume that you're pre-selected. So they go, oh, well, other women must like this guy. So I should probably check him out and see if he's interesting or see if he's cool, because other women probably like him already. This is one of the biggest concepts in attraction in the first place, is that if you can talk to a woman in a way that presupposes that other women already like you, then you will attract her. And that's just kind of how it is. So you know, make sure that that is the case, that you do spend time to sort of drop that seed in there. That's how you marketing sort of your alpha status, as you say here in the question. Alpha status really isn't the thing you're trying to market. You're trying to market that you have to filter women out. That's it. You know, and make sure you don't filter them out. If you're not super hot, if you're not, if you can't swallow a banana whole, you know, like you don't want to, if you can't put half of a beer bottle in your mouth, you know, then don't talk to me. That's not going to get women interested. I mean, they might laugh, but it's not going to do the job that you really want. I mean, actually, you'll probably get better than most profiles, to be honest, if you do that. But you're going to make things a little bit deeper. You don't want to make it like, you know, if you like the Mets, then don't talk to me. That's kind of like dude talk. You know, it's like you're trying to filter out dude friends of yours. You want to make it more like if you were the kind of guy who gets so many responses from women that you just, it's annoying. What would you say? One thing you might say is, And write me an email twice, because if you write me once, I might not get back to you because I get a lot of emails, a lot of messages. You know, and don't be angry if it takes me a week to get back. You know, these kind of things. So that way, whenever you do get a message from her and you respond back the same day, she's like, oh my God, like I actually have a chance with this guy, you know? Also, another plentyoffish.com/okcupid/match.com, whatever tip is to take your photos, like take as many photos as you can, all your Facebook photos with just you in them, and put them all up on hotornot.com and start an account with hotornot.com. And then just let people rate them. Women will go through, they'll rate all your photos and you'll get one that wins. Don't be afraid of like, oh man, you know, if all of them are a, you know, two and one's a four, use the four. You know, because that's the best photo of you, regardless. So don't be like, oh, women think that I'm a two, or, you know, and feel bad for yourself, feel sorry for yourself. Instead, you want to use that to your advantage, that option and that ability to your advantage. So make sure you do that. Let me see if I have any other questions here off the top that I can get into. I think that's it for him. So that should help you out there. The filtering women out thing is huge. And also put your images up on Hot or Not, and you should be able to get a pretty good response from people and figure out which one's a winner. Use that as your main profile picture whenever you do it. I'm not huge on online dating, though I know it's probably the easiest way to meet women. It is super, super simple. But most guys screw up the whole meeting them afterwards part, not the, you know, talk to them on the internet part. That a lot of guys sort of have that down. It's that when you meet up with them in person, that's the hard part. So definitely check that out and do that and see what you think. I've got lots of questions, so I think that I'm just going to breeze over the rest of the content and then get straight into the questions. After the introduction stage, you go then to the demonstrating high value stage. This is where you're presenting non-neediness to her. Like, you don't need her, but you're interested and you like her, but you don't need her. That's important. That's, again, shows pre-selection, that you have a lot of options. And women do base a lot on pre-selection. In fact, one of the main reasons why women are attracted to celebrities is because they know a lot of other women want them. So, because a lot of women see them, so a lot of women want them. Same thing with musicians. You're standing up on a stage, everyone's looking at you. Well, then, you know, a lot of women, they're assuming a lot of women want that person, want that guy, or want you. So they want you immediately. They get attracted immediately. I have a friend who's a coach. He teaches women how to meet men, and not meet men, but how to keep the man they really want. And, he has probably got the best job in the universe, because he stands in front of a group of women, and every word that comes out of his mouth and every second he stands there increases his attractiveness to every single woman who's in the entire room. So it's a really great thing to be able to do. Now, this is sort of this is social values. This is pre-selection. This is what women are attracted to. It's one of the main things they're attracted to. So demonstrating high value, you're going to be demonstrating non-neediness, and you're going to be demonstrating pre-selection. Most of that is going to be through demonstration, not through verbalization. So body language, vocal tonality, things like this. If you don't have the 5-week body language mastery course, then shoot me an email and I will give it to you. So that is my 5-week body language training course. It's killer. Every guy who's read it, it's blown their mind. It's actually 6 weeks long and it's a webinar series. So check it out. Shoot me an email, joshua@thedaoofbadass.com. Actually, send it to Brad. If you send it to me, it might get lost. Brad@thedaoofbadass.com. And we'll hook you up. I've lost a lot of emails because I get literally hundreds of emails a day. So not that yours isn't important. I just don't want it to get lost. So make sure you do that. If you don't have it, then let Brad know. Brad@thedaoofbadass.com. Shoot him an email. You may want to do it right now if you're on the computer. It just says, hey, give me access to the 5-week body language mastery course. And then click send.
It'll help if you know, give me a compliment. Like, you have really pretty eyes or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Then he may like, oh, wow, well, I'm going to do this person's first, and then I'm going to do the rest later if I have time. actually, don't do that, because you don't want Brad, you know, calling you and talking to you.
Right.
Yeah.
I get pretty clingy.
Yeah. He's like a cat. You know, if you feed him, then he's going to keep coming back. So I want to go ahead and click off of that one. So that's gone. So the demonstrating high value phase, mostly about body language, mostly about using negative body language properly. If you want to learn more about that in a time in which you have time to go over it, you get the 5-week body language mastery course and from Brad, and he'll hook you up with it since you're a founding member. It's a $1,700 course typically. The live version $1,700, and people who typically buy it on their own, the static version, it's a lot more than free. So check it out, and we'll hook you up with it because you're a founding member, because We're awesome like that. So the final stage in attraction is qualifying. This is where you give her the opportunity to chase you. This is a very, very important stage. And most guys skip this stage because they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to get women to chase them. The way you do it is you basically walk her through the process of trying to impress you. Again, the Dial Badass has a lot of information on qualifying, so you can go in there and get lots of information there. And also, I believe in the members area, I believe I go into qualifying in a little bit more detail. If you click on the resources section of the members area, you'll see a video, a series of me talking about qualifying and rapport and a few other seduction, a few other things too. So check that out. I'll go into more detail there. But ultimately, you're trying to get her to explain why she's an interesting person to you. And as soon as she does, you're going to accept her for that, and then you're going to move on. So that's when you can go into the rapport stage. So that's attraction. Attractions can be an extremely short, really quick process. And most guys think that there are problems with attraction, but that's not actually what most guys have a problem with. They have a problem with being manly and being the seduction, and more frequently they have a problem with going into rapport immediately, skipping the stage of attraction altogether, or building fake rapport, which doesn't really work. So I want to get into a couple of the questions of people that people have given on the call now. Got two of them. And let me just go ahead and read these out loud. So we got this first one. It says, I have this girl I met on Plenty of Fish. Which by the way, Plenty of Fish is a dating site. I believe it's a free dating site. If you are interested in meeting women and you want to get on there, do it. It's free. But you do get what you pay for. By the way, guys, if you really want to clean up, and I've never told you about this before, so if you really want to clean up and you want to sleep with tons of women, if you don't want to, then that's fine too. Don't worry about it. If you want to sleep with tons of women, Plenty of Fish is not the place to do it. You need to go get an account on a sugar daddy site. Find a free to join sugar daddy site and sign up, and immediately in your profile, write, look, I don't pay for anything. I know if you're looking for someone to pay for stuff, go somewhere else. And then just write down the qualifying stuff I talked about earlier, and you will clean up hot, super hot women. I have a guy, a friend of mine, who's a guest speaker in the Hacking Attraction course. If you haven't gotten that yet, again, shoot Brad an email. He'll give you a link to get a copy of that. That's not going to be free, though. That's an expensive course. That was a live program that I taught. It's like it's a 5 full days of a coaching, about 4 to 8 hours a day most of the time. And that's a great program. We have a guest speaker on that named Milton. And Milton is, among many things, a brilliant use of sugar daddy sites. He actually owns one as well, and he uses this concept to meet women. And he's overweight, he's bald, completely bald. He has a thick Cuban accent. He's pale as the moon. I mean, the guy is like, you wouldn't guess this guy had killer women. But the first time I met him, he saw me speaking, and then the second time I saw him, he's like, oh, can I buy you coffee? I was like, sure, I guess. I don't really like to waste time, so I don't usually get coffee with people I don't know. But he's like, let me get you coffee, and let me just talk to you a little bit. And he showed up, and he had two model hot women, just blazingly hot. Introduced me to both of them, and then he said, all right, guys, I'll talk to you later on. Go shopping, and I'll see you later on tonight. And they're like, okay, and then they left. And I was like, if he brings up the girls, then he did this just to impress me, but he didn't. He didn't say anything about him at all. And I was like, oh, what the hell is with this guy? And eventually got to the point where I realized he was just a brilliant mind when it comes to this stuff. So definitely do that. Go to sugar daddy sites. That's the most well-kept secret of online dating right now. For now, until it gets blown up. Yeah. It will get blown up eventually, so jump on now if you want to. I'm sure there are some free sugar daddy sites. And actually, I should have a membership that I can get guys, a service into a sugar daddy site for cheaper, and also get coaching on how to do their profiles, set the profiles up and everything. So I may create that as a side program for everybody on my list, but it is like the biggest hack in the universe. Like, you can just hack it through. Anyway, I only got one sentence into this question. I met this girl on Plenty of Fish. I had dinner with her and it went well. Okay, so the first thing you did is you had dinner with her, which that throws up a red flag already for me, but I'll continue. I've talked with her a couple of times on the phone, and lots of banter with lots of testing. Okay, I guess you got a lot of testing from her. I can't get her to come out again. So you went out with her once. You can't seem to convince her to come out again. I asked her why she ignored me every time I asked her to hang out, which you should have done. because that was a reactive thing to do. She played dumb. Then she said she was with her kids and her nursing job, and it was difficult to make time. Okay, I left it at that. I decided to move on. Once a week, she texts me to check in. I respond at random and playfully, right, every time. Any suggestions to get this girl to come hang out without being a dick? I run out of ideas. Okay. So the first thing you did is you went to dinner with her. I'm not sure if you knew not to at the time. Don't do that again. You never want to go on a date with a girl, especially a traditional date for the first time you meet her. You go on a date with a woman you're dating. You don't go on a date with a girl that you just met. Instead, you hang out with a girl that you just met. And you want to hang out in some kind of a social situation if possible, where you have friends, someplace you know a bartender, or you know people who work at a place, or you have some kind of respect there so that you have social value already. Brett, I know you. You're a J-type. I know your personality types. I talked to you about it before. You need to get into a place where you know the people around you, and that's going to be your best. You're going to do your best work in that space. So make sure that you don't just go to a restaurant and take her out to dinner, because then it's a lot of pressure. A, it's easy to get women to go out to dinner because you're buying them, you're paying for their dinner, and you're paying for them to come out. You're essentially turning them into prostitutes, and you don't want to do that. So, but then and then we all get surprised as men. We turn women into prostitutes by paying for the dinner, and then we get surprised later when they start acting like prostitutes. You know, like they're asking for money, or you know, they start using us or testing us or being bitchy. The reason why they're doing that is because you told her to do that. So you need to reframe this whole thing. It's good that she's calling you once a week or so, or texting you rather, once a week or so to sort of check in. It's good that you're waiting every once in a while and not responding back. I would actually let at least 1 week go by without responding to what she said. If she texts you twice in the week, then write back, "Oh, so sorry, I've been really busy. What's going on? What are you doing on Thursday? I'm going to this, whatever. I'm going to this bar with a friend, with a couple of my friends who are in my something with me." I don't know. You don't want to say it's a couple of my dude friends or whatever, because that's going to be kind of awkward for her. Or I'm going to this bar. You don't even have to say with whom, actually. I'm going to this bar on Thursday at this time. You want to meet me there? That's it. Not, "I'm going to buy you a drink." Not, "I'm going to pay for your dinner." Not, "I'm going to, would you like to go to a bar with me?" Not with you. It's, you're going there already. Does she want to meet you there? That's important. So she'll say yes or no, and that's it. You know, that's all you can do. If she says no, then go, "All right, well, let me know whenever you want to hang out." Put the ball in her court and just be done with it. That's it. Don't be angry. Just go, "All right, no problem. Just let me know whenever you're gonna, when you do want to hang out. I'll probably be around, or I might be around." You know, don't say, "Anytime you want to hang out, let me know, and I'll jump at it and go do anything you want like a little puppy dog." You don't want to say that. Instead, you want to make it seem like, well, you've got other shit you're going to be doing, you know, other people you're going to be talking to, but you don't need to say that. You just need to say what a person who was truly confident and had lots of options would say, and that is, "All right, sure, well, you know, whenever you have time, just let me know, and we'll hang out then." Cool. That's it. If she never talks to you again, it's probably because she's in a relationship, and you'll probably hear from her in about 6 months when it doesn't work, or if it doesn't work. I've seen that happen several times. So that's the best way to do it, man. You want to make sure you don't respond immediately to her the next time she writes you. And then whenever you do respond a little bit later on, go, "Hey, just saw this text. It's been crazy around here. I'm going to be..." And then just launch straight into it. Don't even respond to whatever she writes unless, you know, don't even respond to what she writes. If she's like, "Hey, what's going on, mister? Whatever." Or, "How you been?" Or, "Haven't heard from you in a while." Don't go, "Oh yeah, but you didn't call me. That's why, you know, I've been waiting for you to call." You know, you don't want to do that stuff. Instead, you're going to be saying, "Hey, it's been kind of nuts around here. I just saw this message. What are you doing Thursday? I'm going to be down at this bar. If you can meet up, you definitely should. It'd be awesome." The end. You know, and then she says no, and she has any excuse at all, then just go, "All right, no problem. Well, just why don't you just let me know whenever when you do have time and you want to hang out, and then we'll work it out then if I'm around. If I'm around, then we'll work it out. It's important." So, Brett, you're going to get a recording of this, so you don't have to furiously write this down. If you didn't get all of it, you'll be able to listen to it later and pause it and play it and whatnot. So check that out and try that. That will definitely work. So, next question. I love the headline. So it says, "How do you get or hold a woman's attention if you're hideously ugly and have no self-esteem and are extremely shy and definitely afraid of rejection?" Okay, so first off, these are all belief systems. If you haven't listened to the original recording of like the first, especially the first founding members club call, the first three really. Go back and listen to those as soon as it's humanly possible. You'll get a recording to this. If you actually go into your members area and you click on product library, you'll see a list of different products that you have. Somewhere in there will say it'll say a founding members club, and you'll be able to click on a link in there that will give you a download section for all the different calls that we've done so far. You can go into that section, you can download those audio pieces, and you can listen to how to basically get rid of the shit you just said, because all this stuff, what you're doing right now is, I'm guessing that you think this about yourself, you actually didn't say that, but maybe this is for a friend of yours, I really don't know. But if it is you, you need to recreate your belief system. You will never be able to keep a woman's attention if you think you are hideously ugly, or you have no self-esteem, or extremely shy. But being extremely shy is fine, actually. But definitely afraid of rejection, things like this. These are belief systems that you have, and you're going to keep perpetuating these. Now, that may be kind of hard to hear, because most guys will say, well, women don't like me, and so I must be unattractive. But the truth is, it's not the chicken before the egg here. It's not like you... actually, what I meant to say is another cliche, which is... you're putting the cart before the horse, not chicken before the egg. You're putting the cart before the horse here. You're saying that, well, since no one likes me, I must be ugly, and so now I'm ugly, and no one still likes me, so that makes sense, right? But that's not necessarily true. In fact, that's almost never true. Women are not attracted to physical qualities in men. They're attracted to status. I have a friend who's got brittle bones disease. I forgot what the actual disease is called. His girlfriend is awesome and hot. He's probably 3.5 feet tall. He can't walk. He's in a wheelchair. His legs are tiny. He looks like a baby with a big head. Like, you'd never guess this guy would ever have a girlfriend in a million years. But he's very good with women. And the reason why is because he recreated all his belief systems and became an inspirational guy. And what happened is when women met him, they were completely enthralled by him. You know, he just is a master at this stuff. And so, he was able to take his skills, or his, you know, what people thought was a huge problem, huge deficit, and he's dated gorgeous, gorgeous women, you know, and he has to filter women out. He's a lot of women who like him a lot, you know, and he's not rich by any means at all. He's just a really, really smart guy and extremely, charismatic, but he's also gotten over his all of his insecurities. He's used that as a way to sort of boost him through the crap that he's been through. I guarantee you, you're not any uglier than my friend is, Sean. You're not any uglier than Sean. Sean is like a crippled midget, so it looks like, you know. And you can't, if you shake his hand too hard, you'll break it, because his bones are super brittle. So, and he's an amazing guy. You know, he's one of the most inspiring guys I've ever met in my entire life. So, these are all belief systems that you have here. You need to get over those first off. You're not going to be able to keep a woman's attention if you think that you're hideously ugly. There's a step-by-step process for recreating your belief system. I had to go through this exact same process here. I thought that I was ugly too. So I think a lot of guys do. A lot of guys have this exact same question, problem. Whenever women started being attracted to me, it wasn't because, you know, some woman finally told me I was attractive. It was because I created the belief system that I was attractive, and I didn't truly know if it was going to work or not, and it did. And that's actually in the Tao of Badass. If you have the Tao of Badass handy, check it out and read over the section on confidence. I believe I cover it in that section. And it goes over the 5 stages of belief creation. And you have to go through these stages. You have to recreate this. You have to believe that you're hot, not ugly. So if you're having a good time believing that you're ugly, then you're giving up the opportunity to attract women. So you're choosing like being funny or being a shy guy or whatever. You're choosing that over attracting women. So I just want you to know that. You have to man up at some point, and you're going to have to take responsibility for this. If you want to be ugly and still attract women, like think that you're ugly and still attract women, then I don't know. I mean, you can't. That's just not how it works. The guys who are unattractive that attract women don't think they're unattractive. They think they're hot. That's why they attract women in the first place. Women go, wow, this guy thinks he's hot, and so maybe something else about him. So they get to know him better, and then they fall in love with him. They build rapport with him. So I thought I was ugly for all of my life. I thought that no one thought I was attractive. I actually got one of the super hot girls in my high school voted for me as a like best all around, and I thought she was making fun of me. You know, because I just thought it was like, I thought that, I mean, I couldn't stand her because of that, actually. I didn't like her for like 10 years until I found out later on that it was all in my head and I was doing all that. So, again, I don't want to get too into depth on this, but if you do want to truly overcome that and you're willing to put in the effort, you're going to have to recreate that belief system. I know you probably don't want to hear that. You probably want to hear some technique to get around it. I have those too, but I'm not going to teach them to you until you stop talking like this. So just want to let you know. So definitely recreate that belief system. And by the next week, it's 2 weeks from now is the next call. By the next call, you better have that redone, because you're not going to be successful with women unless you redo that belief system. And I don't care if you're totally lying to yourself. You need to believe it as much as you possibly can. And then you need to go through the 5 stages of belief creation. When you're done with those, then you'll be starting from scratch, really. You'll be starting from a good place, a place of attractiveness, a place as an attractive guy. So definitely do that. The reason why you probably don't know if you're attractive or not, by the way, is probably because you're not gay. So gay guys can tell whether or not they're attractive because they're attracted to men. If you're not attracted to men, then you really have no idea whether or not women are attracted to you. So that's important. So those are the first few questions there from today. I'm going to go over questions that I didn't realize were being sent in last time, because that's only fair. I had a couple guys on the members area go, "What the hell, man? I asked questions and you totally didn't answer them." We didn't know how to answer questions, so. But now we do. So if you do have a question and you want to go online, you can submit it there, or you can press *2 on your phone and you can raise your hand. I will unmute you and we can talk directly. So it's up to you. Whichever one you want to do is fine with me. We have a lot of guys listening online right now, only a few guys listening on phones. So if you are on a phone, then you want to press *2 on your phone and you want to raise your hand so I can answer your questions. All right. So the next question here, let me get to it. All right. So it says, "Tell me what you consider to be appropriate first dates. I have been sticking to coffee, but on Friday we are meeting at 9 p.m. and I will be too busy to eat in advance." All right. So this was from last week, and I screwed up and didn't know this question was here. So sorry about that, man. I didn't mean to wait, you know, after everything went down to get back to you on this. I know that's kind of screwy. But let me tell you, so in the future you know. First, I had a list of different places that I would go on dates that I knew were really good for me. And I had to have one for every situation I would go into. Sometimes it was nighttime. I need a place at nighttime. I need a place to eat, but not feel pressured to pay, or not feel like it's an upscale, super fancy place. I needed a place to eat that was really nice, just in case I started dating someone for a long period of time. I could take them there as sort of like a gift, you know, like for their birthday or something. I had to find a place that was during the daytime that was like sit down and talk, a place that was for nighttime that was exciting and energetic, a place that was during the daytime that was exciting and energetic, a place that was during the daytime we could walk to from one place to another that was sort of transient, that I could say, "Meet me here," and then there was no sort of consumption involved, no like we're going to sit around and drink or talk or eat or things like that. So I had all these different things. I would say I'm going to press myself here and try to come up with 5 different things that you need to pin down for you and go in ahead of time. Like, I used to go into bars and clubs at like 3 p.m., meet the bartender, get their name, and tell them I'd be back tonight and that I'd see them. Like, I'd go in, get their name, have a drink if they were open. If they weren't open, I would just introduce myself and ask them what time they're going to be open, whether or not they were working that night. And then I'd come back that night and hang out there. So you want to come in a time when it's not so busy so you can meet the bartender. This is really important. That way when you get there with the girl and you go, "Hey, James, you got to meet my friend here," and then you introduce the girl you just met to this bartender, James, and all of a sudden you've got all the bartender's value you have because you're valuable by proxy, essentially. So that's important. So one is going to be a bar. You need to have a bar that you can go into during the daytime, get acquainted with that place, with the people that work in there, and maybe even at nighttime go there, just check out the scene to make sure it's a comfortable place and you're not going to be like, you know, in a sailor bar where there's nothing but dudes like haven't seen a woman in 6 months who are horny trying to pick up your one chick, you know? Take her off your hands for you.
Though that does sound like a great time.
Yeah, exactly. Whee! But ultimately, you want to find a bar. Next, you want to find a park, some place that you can walk. If you don't have any parks nearby, then you want to find a stretch of land, a beach, something, you know, something. I'm pretty sure you'll have a park nearby. Every single state has a park. Pretty much any place in the country or in the world has a park somewhere nearby. If there is no park nearby, then you find a stretch that you can walk down that's going to be, you know, relatively interesting and not distracting. Next, you want to find a place that has tea only. If you can find a place that has tea only, do it. Because tea is a lot different than coffee. You want to, even if you don't like tea, who cares, man? You're not going for the tea. You're going for her. Everyone knows that. So suck it up. Have a, you know, a glass of peppermint or something, peppermint tea, or get some fruity tea. I don't care. But just sit down and have tea with her and learn to appreciate tea if you can. This is good because it's a pattern interrupt. You're not asking her to go have coffee. Now, if you live in England, tea's not going to work, is it? So you want to use coffee. So you want to do whatever people aren't doing. So if you are in the U.S., find a tea place if you can. If there is no tea place, find a good coffee place that's locally owned if you can. And if you last resort, find a Starbucks or some group, you know, some big chain coffee shop.
Tea is kind of cool too because they serve it in a pot and then you like pour it to each person.
Right.
So it's not like each person has to get their own individual drink.
Right.
So that's...
You're starting out sharing, which is actually a good point. You know, and you're starting out going, let me pour your tea for you.
Exactly.
You know, and it's a tradition in a lot of Asian cultures that it's really bad and really impolite to pour your own tea. So you can actually pour their tea and then they can pour your tea. And you can sort of get into this little culture thing going on, which is really fun. So that's three. We have a bar, a park, and a coffee shop or tea shop. I would say tea, definitely, if you can. Next is a club, something that's just amazing, like really loud, boom, 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 like lots of music, that kind of stuff, you know, and lights flashing everywhere. Some place that I probably would never ever want to go in a bajillion years, unless I was single or I had a bottle, like a bottle service or something at a table, because I just don't really like clubs or there's too much information, too much shit going on. But when I was single, I would absolutely have the club that I wanted to go into, and I had access. I knew the bartender, I knew the bouncer, I could get in, I don't have to wait in line. This is important because some women are going to want to go out to clubs like this. They want to show themselves off, and you need to be able to go there and let her show herself off and still keep all that value. So that's four. The fifth one is going to be something that's a little bit different, which is a wine bar. If you can find a wine bar nearby, this is very crucial. I would also say you can actually switch out the wine bar for a bookstore. Bookstores are less exciting, but wine bars are definitely much more exciting. So you will basically have some place to go during the daytime, which is a park or a coffee shop, and then three places to go to at nighttime, a club, a regular bar, and then a wine bar. These are the three different environments, the five different environments you want to have locked down. If you don't have these five different environments locked down, you need to get them locked down. You can't get in a situation where it's like, oh, tonight I have a, you know, I'm going out and I don't know any bar to go to and we're meeting at nighttime and blah, blah. What do I do? You know? Well, it's too late. You need to build that value ahead of time. Unless you know how to walk into a bar and create value immediately, which I had to learn how to do and you can do. I do teach that information in the Tao of Badass. I don't call it out specifically like that, but the value section of that, the confidence section with value in it, that's all it talks about. So definitely do that. If you can't eat in advance, which was your problem here for the question, then that's fine. Eat there. Who cares? If you go to a bar, you can eat at a bar for a minute before you start drinking. Who cares? You're fine. You know, you don't have to mind that. That's okay. But don't go, let's go have a fancy dinner. If you do sit down and eat, though, actually, I would add another one to that. I would say you can have a wine bar, you can have a bookstore, you can also have a place to have dinner. That's not super expensive, you know. That is okay. It's okay to go out to have dinner if you really need to eat. But it's so much better if you go there ahead of time, you are already done eating, and then she sits down. Because now she's going to have to go, you know, if you eat and then pay your check and then sit down with her at the table and go, oh, I already ate, actually. I'm fine. And then she won't order nearly anything what she was before because, you know, she's not expecting you to be trading, you know, money for her time. It's a pattern interrupt again, you know. So it's important. Just keep that in mind. If you need to eat somewhere, just eat, dude. Don't worry about it. Don't stress out. I know that it's good that you're thinking like you're thinking because you're thinking that, you know, you don't want to buy her dinner and you're stuck in a situation where, you know, you are sitting down because you're hungry to eat food. But you can also just be like, hey, let's go grab a slice of pizza real quick and then let's head over to this place, right? Just make sure you have something to do afterwards. So I'll definitely say that. That's one. Oop, I think that's good there. Let me make sure I'm not neglecting any newer questions. Again, if you do have any questions, press star 2 on your phone, or if you're online, go ahead and fill out that questionnaire form right there. So next on down the line here, this is going to actually, I need to start breezing through this, otherwise I'm going to have to take up more questions in the next call. If you do have any questions over the next couple of weeks, by the way, you can always click on the link, explore, and go ahead and drop in your questions ahead of time so that whenever I get to this call, I get to your questions first. Hopefully you're getting a lot of value out of all these other questions that guys are asking as well. So, next question. It says, now that I'm approaching women and no expectations other than just, you know, to get over the apprehension of approach. So, like, he's saying that now that he's approaching women, all he's trying to do is get over his approach anxiety. I realize I'm leaving women confused because I'm just testing, right? So he's just using this as a test. Can you talk about how touch plays in to what happens and what phase you should touch her hands, shoulder, etc.? Okay, so first off, this is actually two different questions. It sounds like it's linked together, but it's not actually related. If you're leaving women confused, it's probably because you're not doing a good enough job bantering, not that you're not doing a good enough job touching. So that, first off, is very important. You want to make sure that you know it's a banter issue and not a touch issue yet. So make sure that when you walk up to her, you are talking to her, you're bantering with her, you're not just, you know, thinking, oh, how do I touch this girl more? Next, it says, you know, you're asking, what phase can you touch her hands, her shoulders, etc.? Well, her shoulders you can touch immediately. You don't want to leave your hand on her shoulder for more than 3 seconds, though, in the very, very beginning. Once you start to build rapport, so during the attraction phase, it's 1 to 3 seconds, then you take your hand off. I don't care where you're touching. 1 to 3 seconds, then you take your hand off. You don't want to touch any place typically except arms, sometimes shoulders briefly, and then upper back at times as well. So that's it. Just keep it in places that are external. So you want to do that, and then as you go into rapport, then you're able to touch hands, and you're able to touch any place I tell you now. The places you already touch, you're allowed to touch there still too, but you're allowed to touch for longer, between 3 and 5 or 3 and 7 seconds. So you're going through rapport, you're keeping your hand on for a little bit longer, you're touching your hands, and as you go through the process, you may realize you can touch for longer during rapport. It's because you're getting closer and closer to seduction. During seduction, you can touch anywhere you want, and you can touch for as long as you want. So that's important. But during rapport, you'll be touching your hands, you can touch her hair, you can touch sometimes her face gently, her neck, your chin, that area. You all wouldn't put your hand around her neck, but you can put your arm around. Or, you know, you can touch your neck with the back of your fingernails, things like that, while you're talking. You can also touch her lower back as well if you're sitting next to her. And you can sort of get through this process of being more intimate with your touch. During rapport, you can do that. During seduction, you can touch anywhere. You can touch for as long as you want to. I have a step-by-step attraction or a touch guide, actually, in the 5-week body language mastery course. I think it's in the second. You'll see the touch link in there. So check it out and definitely watch it, because I go through my it's called the 1 through 5 guide, and I go through the different stages and where to touch and how to touch and how long and all that stuff. So definitely check that out. So that'll help you out a lot there too. Let me see if I got any new questions here before I continue. And look, we're good to go. All right. So the next question here. Starting to get a little bit worn out from talking so much. It says, I've researched a lot of material on this issue, but I haven't found a consistent answer. Okay, I love questions like this. What do you do when a girl you're dating is acting cold or disinterested or rude? Should you ask what's wrong? If she wants to go, do you let her leave in a bad mood? How do you deal with bad behavior? When do you ignore it, and when or how do you say something? All right, so first off, if you're talking to a girl and she gets in a bad mood, I've heard lots of different ways of explaining this. The first thing I want to say is that not everybody does this, but I take almost full responsibility for whether or not a girl's in a good mood. Because to me, I know how to get her in a good mood. I know how to get her laughing, get her attracted, build her up. I can actually probably say I know why she's in a bad mood. It's probably because you skipped attraction. Even when you sit down to meet a girl, you go to dinner with her, you're going on a date with her. It says a girl that you're dating, so I'm guessing a girl that you're going on a date with. She acts disinterested or rude. It's probably because you're not bantering enough. You're not being playful enough. You're not, go back. There's a banter cheat sheet that I have for you in the members area. Check it out and do what you want to. Pick three of those in there and memorize them so you can say them later. This is really important. So you want to make sure that you have things to say, have different banter lines to say to make her sort of giggle and laugh. You want to come up with your own eventually, but you want to do that. So probably she's actually in a bad mood because of you, not because of her. But if she is in a bad mood and you're on a date and you don't know what you did wrong and you see it totally going downhill, you have no option but to call it out. Because the worst case scenario is you're going to A, try to fix it and become dancing monkey boy who's like, trying to dance around and be attentive and exciting and interesting, and it's going to seem really needy and really desperate. Or you're going to let it keep continue, and she's going to be uninterested, and she's not going to want to go out with you again anyway. So the sooner you cut this off, the better. The sooner you get it out, the better. But you have to be extremely, extremely honest and open about it. You can't be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? That's not going to go fly. Or, all right, fine, if you want to be a bitch, then go be a bitch somewhere else. Like, that's like... what so many guys do this. You cannot do that. Instead, you have to look at it like, well, she looks like she's in a bad mood. Let me see if I can figure this out, And then you just go, hey, are you all right, by the way? I'm going to kind of notice that you're a little upset or nervous, or I don't know what's going on, but are you okay? Is there someone here that's weirding you out? Or do you want to do one? We can go to a different place if you're feeling strange, So you want to go straight into rapport, and you want to go straight into calling it out. There's a soccer phrase, playing soccer. I used to play when I was little. And it says, when in doubt, kick it out or put it out, right? Kick the ball out of bounds. That's when in doubt, kick it out of bounds. And there's also a phrase that I use to guys, which is when in doubt, call it out. You want to make sure you do it. If you're in doubt like this and you're like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? The worst thing you can do is keep saying, what do I do? The best thing you can do is figure out what the hell's going on so that next time you can figure out how to fix it. If it's not with her, it's with someone else, you can learn. So if it's no longer an opportunity for you to attract a woman in your mind, if it's going downhill, then at least it needs to be an opportunity for you to learn something awesome about women. So, you just turn this into like figuring out what the hell's going on with her. If she's like, oh, it's that I'm not really attracted to you. And be like, oh, that's really interesting. So could you tell me what it is about me that's not attractive? Because obviously this isn't going to go anywhere. It's not a big deal. But what is it about me? What am I doing wrong so I know not to do this again? It's something I said early. She's like, I don't know. It's just... you talk too much, or whatever. Like, she may give you some crap answer that you can't really decipher very well, but at least you'll get something, you can't look at every interaction like it's going to be the holy grail or this like it's the only interaction you're ever going to have. You have to look at this like it's, you're improving yourself over time. So if it goes wrong, that's okay. It's good, actually. You want to make sure you find out the lesson, though. Find out what you did wrong and make sure that you don't do it again in the future. So that's really crucial. So definitely do that. I would say, how do you say something? It's very simple. You just call out exactly what's going on. It's really straightforward. It's not some magical thing you can say that's going to flip her switch and flip around to being super nice. You may come across something, though, that eventually does that, but most of the work is done ahead of time. When she meets up with you, the way she expects things to go, it's the person she expects you to be, you have to be congruent all the way across the board here. And if you put up with a lot, she'll be bitchier and bitchier. So you can't put up with it, but you can't be a dick about it either. You can't go, fine, if you're going to be a bitch, then leave. You can get your own cab home or something, whatever, things like that. So you want to make sure that you're focusing on looking at this as if it's a learning experience. Because often you'll get a girl's in a bad mood and then you start talking like this and she's like so surprised that you're bringing it up and that you're talking to her openly about it that she becomes attracted again. It's a win-win situation for everybody. So definitely do that. Do that right there. That's what I would say. Just double check to make sure no more. Oh, we're good there. No more new questions. So let's continue. All right. Next question. How does the map of interaction and your body language change once you're dating or in a relationship with a girl? Do you need to gauge? Do you need to gwadge, actually? I make that mistake all the time. I write gauge and spell it wrong. Do you need to gauge her mood and adjust accordingly? Since rapport is already established, Is it mostly about attraction and seduction, or is it bad to give positive body language at all times? Should I approach every interaction with her as a new interaction? Okay, so if you're actually dating or you're in a relationship with a girl, the map of interaction is still holds true, but the truth is you're in the last stage of the map of interaction, and that stage is called relationship balance. If you haven't gone over that, you have to go over that. Because what you're looking at right now is you're looking at the beginning stages of an interaction. You're wondering about those different, you know, do I do attraction, do I do rapport, do I do seduction, what do I do? And instead, you need to be looking at, well, okay, where's the value, where's the neediness level, where's the compliance level, and where's the power level in this relationship? So you want to make sure that you get that information down first, and then you move on to the next, sort of the next process and the next step. So I would definitely focus on that first, first off. That's off the top of my head. Next, if you, since rapport is already established, it doesn't mean you have to stop. Relationships are mostly about rapport. In fact, you have to build tons of rapport in a relationship. And that's because that's what keeps the love going. That's what keeps the love happening. But you also have to, by the way, read a book, a free report that I wrote. That's never, it's a Never Get Cheated On, or How to Never Get Cheated On. And, that report talks about how to position yourself as a man in a way that makes her never sort of lose interest in you. And that is basically, to give you sort of the elevator pitch version of that, it's the, if you are a guy who shows her that you're constantly improving as a man, like you're constantly figuring out ways to be more and more confident as a man, and not just compensating by like trying to be rich or something, you're actually overcoming insecurities that you have, then she will be attracted to you forever. So this is very, very important. So the game switches from building curiosity to building value and building, you have to be an appreciating asset. You can't be a depreciating asset as a man. You have to get more and more confident over time. Women expect you to be more and more confident, but not only that, women are more attracted to men as they get older because they're more confident. Guys, I hear a lot of guys come to me with the question of, well, what do you do if you're an older guy? And it kind of blows me away sometimes because it's the truth is, well, the question really should be, what do you do if you're a younger guy? You know, because if you're a younger guy, you have way more problems. You have way more insecurities. You have way more, way less experience. You know, guys who are older, they have it much easier than younger women do. Or sorry, than younger guys do. Younger women. That's my subconscious mind there. You have much easier than younger men do. You have life experience. You have confidence. You have, we have sexual experience as well. And most women, and value, you know, most women are much more attracted to those qualities than they are to anything else. Virility. Women aren't interested in virility in men. Men are interested in virility in women. So you want to make sure you recognize that, you remember that, that being older definitely is working to your advantage. So you want to make sure that you stay an appreciating asset over time. You constantly improve yourself. You're constantly taking to the next level. And you constantly have some kind of ambition, some dream, something, some impression you want to make on the world or in your local area or whatever it is. But you have to have some action point, something that drives you. If you don't do that, then you don't have that, then you're not going to have much to go on. So make sure you do that. Again, guys, press star 2 if you have any questions. We have about enough time for a couple more questions here, so we're going to go over those and then we'll be done for the day. I've been talking your ear off here, so this has been a shitload of conversation and a shitload of content. So press star 2 if you do have a question or statement or whatever it is you want to talk about. Just as long as it's relevant to the topic, that's fine. I don't want to waste time. Let me get rid of this one. So I'll answer one, maybe two more questions, and then I'll be done for this call. So if you do have a question, now's the time to press star 2 on your phone, or if you're watching stuff online or listening to stuff online, you want to make sure that you input that question into that form so that we right now and hit submit so that we can get to that question. So I just got a question that popped up online. So let me take that on the phone. So let me go ahead and take that call first and unmute this person here and come on and continue. Hey, what's going on? I sort of unclicked you. You're in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Yeah. Hey, it's Dale. How are you?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good.
Cool.
Hopefully a simple, straightforward question. I have been dating this one woman for a few months now, and from the very beginning, let her know that I was, as you call it, polyamorous.
Polyamorous, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, mm-hmm. So that was kind of like an upfront question and answer. And right. that, there's all this pressure to, like, become exclusive. And I'm just kind of looking at her and I'm saying, you know, what is it that I have not made clear about this? Now, you know, I'm not about to become monogamous with her, but on the other hand, I would not like for it to end. So
right.
you have a point of view or perspective about managing through this.
Oh, yeah, man. I've experienced this lots of times. Close to hundreds of times, actually, with women that I've dated when I was polyamorous. Is that most women hear that and they don't believe it. They see it as a challenge. They see it as, well, I'm going to win this guy over, right? So they start getting into this situation where they're going back and forth with you, trying to win you over, trying to convince you that you should be with them, that you need to be monogamous, that, you know, they basically are getting afraid that you're going to leave or find someone better. So have you read, by the way, that report that I put out on polyamory?
No. Was it one of your videos?
No, it was a bonus. It was a bonus report that I released with the Tao of Badass. And
no, I haven't read it.
Okay, yeah, dude. Yeah, you're going to love this then. So that definitely read that. It's a short read. It's probably about 20, 25 pages or something. Like, not very long. But it basically goes through the whole process that I go through when I am polyamorous. I'm monogamous now because I'm with a woman that you know, does for me what all the other women couldn't do combined, you know. So it's better for me now with that, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. But some guys don't want to do that. Some guys, you know, if she's not absolutely perfect for you in every way, I don't think you should settle for anything less than perfect personally. I think you should do exactly what you're doing. So first off, here's your biggest misconception. And what's your name again? I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
This is my initials, DL.
DL, okay, cool. So I did see a couple of your questions earlier that I was sort of answering. Did you? You haven't been in this call very long.
Yeah, I heard them. I appreciate it.
Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah, sorry, I didn't see those last time, so I didn't know. So DL, the biggest misconception that you have right now is that when you tell a girl you're polyamorous, that she understands that what that means. That's the biggest misconception that you have right now. And that, first off, this is what we call in the industry a high-quality problem. So you're not, like, trying to figure out how to get girls to like you. You're trying to figure out how to manage this girl who likes you, right? These are the kind of problems that you want to have, right? So, but still, it doesn't mean it's not a problem. It's absolutely still a problem. Most guys will look at this and go, well, who cares, man? You're getting women, so you should be happy. No, that's not how it works, you know? You have an actual issue now, and you need to handle it. So I totally feel your sentiment here, and I'm totally with you on this. So what you need to do is not explain anymore. You need to show that you're polyamorous. So you probably, here's what you probably did. You probably said you're polyamorous in the beginning. You got that out of the way, right? And then you were hoping not to have to bring it up again. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so most guys do this. And the reason why is because, of course, if you have to bring it up again, she may remember that you're polyamorous and then decide that she doesn't like it and then leave, right? So you're hoping to get into it so you don't have to keep reminding her. But, so now here's what happened to you in your current situation. This is why you're in a bad situation now, but this will help you in the future though. So if you can't salvage the one that's happening now, then that's okay because you'll have many more in the future. But with polyamory, the important thing is anytime you see two things, right? You need to nip them in the bud immediately. Don't wait. You got to remind them immediately, right then, as it's happening. So the first one is jealousy. You can never accept jealousy in a polyamorous relationship. If she's jealous, it's not going to work out, man. You're dragging her along, and she probably wants to be monogamous with somebody, and that guy's not you anyway because she's not your type. Let her go. Let her go find her guy, you know? Instead, you're holding on to her. Jealousy does not fly with me. Now, you have to – and how old are you, DL?
53.
Yeah, so 53, women are going to be looking at you like you can teach them something in the first place. You know, women are going to be coming to you because you have life experience, you have knowledge, you have all this confidence as a man, you know, that they're going to be very, very, very attracted to. So they expect you to be coaching them almost during this process. And when I was polyamorous, I was coaching a lot of the girls that I was talking to. I have to help them understand why I'm polyamorous and why they're polyamorous with me in the first place. And the reason why is because at some point they're going to meet the guy of their dreams. That guy is not me, you know? And I don't think that they should settle for anything less than perfect for them, so I'm not going to date them exclusively, right? So, right. So what that means is that since I'm not that guy, and I say that ahead of time, you know, we're going to have fun in the meantime. And if that guy, when that guy does come along, you know, you'll be completely happy for her. You'll freaking bear her rings for her at her wedding. You'll be like so excited and looking forward to meeting this guy. And you're not part of her drama, none of that stuff. You're just part of the excitement and the fun part. That's it, you know? So that's how you have to frame it. Now, if you read the polyamory report, it's called Monogamy versus Polyamory, or I think in some versions it's called How to Date Multiples. That report specifically is going to sort of explain some of this stuff. But it's more about how to get guys to become polyamorous. Since you're already polyamorous in the first place, really what you are, DL, is you're just a really honest dude. Now, polyamory is just being honest. I mean, most guys are polyamorous, but they're just afraid to say it. You know, they're cheating is what they're doing. You're not doing that. You say it up front, and you're being totally honest. Now, this is a really amazing quality. Less than 1% of men in the world understand this. Less than 1% of those men can do it properly. So you're in the top 0.001% of men in the world by being able to do this. And it will absolutely work in your favor. So, but that's the first thing is jealousy. You got to nip that in the bud immediately. And the way that you do it, I'll give you a sort of a something that I say that works for me almost every time for that. And by the way, I have had to cut women off before. Oh, it looks like I lost DL there. But he'll be back. So I'll just explain this to everyone else who's on the call. I have had to cut women off before, and I have had to say, look, you're too jealous, you can't do this, I'm sorry, this is not what for you, so you have to find somebody else. DL, are you back now? Let me unmute you here. Okay, you there?
Yeah, I got cut off, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, no worries. So what I was saying is that I have had to cut women off before. I have had to say, look, this isn't working, you're jealous, and you know, you're obviously not meant to be polyamorous. You don't want to be polyamorous with me, so this isn't working out. I can't do this, right? So you want to make sure that you call it out when it does. I have had to say it before. If it continues forever, you need to do that. So I'll give you what to say in a minute that'll sort of get you over this every time that it happens. But the most important thing is a time of delivery. So anytime you see jealousy, you got to deliver it right then. And then anytime you see a push to be monogamous, you need to deliver it right then, right? So my sort of thing that I would say is, she'd say something like, you're going to go hang out with one of your other girlfriends, right? So, okay. That's something that you do not say if you're polyamorous. Like they should be like, oh, who are you hanging out with tonight? I'm hanging out with Jenny. Oh, awesome. Cool. I really want to meet her. You talk about her. She seems so awesome. Yeah. She's amazing. You definitely should. We'll have dinner. Let's make that happen. You know, like that's how it should sound. You know, if it doesn't sound like that, then you're not dealing with women who appreciate what you're doing. They're not going to be confident enough to be monogamous. So you need to coach them to teach them how to be, and then just have to get used to the idea. Because most guys are just not good at being polyamorous, you know? They're just not that good at it. And so they're used to guys being shitty at it. So what I say is anytime I see the jealousy, anytime I see the push to be monogamous, I say the same thing. I say, look, immediately I say this. I won't even respond to what she said. I'll go, look, I maybe there's a miscommunication here. I don't really know, but I'm polyamorous. This is a polyamorous relationship. You know, I think you're amazing and I think you're awesome. I just don't think I'm the perfect guy for you. Like I think when you meet that guy, you're going to know it deep down. Like you're going to know immediately who he is and that he's the one for you. And I know that you don't feel that right now. You don't feel that with me. So you shouldn't convince yourself that you do feel it. In the meantime, though, we can have a great time. We can have a blast. But if this is not, if you don't agree with that and you're looking for, you want me to be that one guy, you're trying to make me be that one guy, you're just going to be unhappy for the rest of your life with me because we're going to be settling. Like, I don't want you to settle for me. I want you to find the guy who's perfect for you, your version of perfect, you know? And I'm going to find my woman who's my version of perfect for me too, you know? And in the meantime, we're going to have a great time, you and I, you know? And whenever you meet him, you know, I'll be right there with you. I'll be so pumped for you. He has to be an amazing guy because he has to be cooler than me, you know? So he's obviously going to be awesome.
Right.
You know, so you have to basically reiterate all that shit. And if she still says, well, I don't like it, then you go, well, then really, we can't date. You know, I'm sorry. Let me take you home. And just drop her off. I've actually had to cut women off before they kept calling and I had to say, look, this is all really cute and I really like flirting with you, but you're not polyamorous and I am, so this is not going to work. But I can still flirt with you. It's fine if that's what you want to do, but it's not going to go any further than that. You know, you really have to cut these women off if they keep doing it. But it's your job before you do that. It's your job to call it out and reiterate every time it happens. You'll probably have to do it. You've already gone pretty far in with this girl, so you're probably going to have to do it 3 or 4 times. I mean, literally 3 or 4 times before she really is comfortable, you know? But I got to the point where I was, you know, I'd have one girl over at my house in the living room and another girl in my bedroom, and they were waiting, taking turns, you know? Or not waiting, I guess, at times. So you want to make sure that you want to get into that situation. That's what you're looking for. And I can tell just by talking to you, DL, that you're doing this because you're an honest dude, not because you're like, yeah, fucking lots of chicks. You're not bragging about it, you know? You're truly, honestly polyamorous until you find a woman that is absolutely perfect in every way for you. And then you're going to go for her only. And you're going to choose her from a place of power. This is exactly why I wrote The Tao of Badass in the first place, is to get guys to the place where you currently are. So congratulations for that. That's great. It's really good to hear this question, because it's a really high-quality question and a really high-quality problem. And it's really good to talk to you about sort of high-level stuff, because I think a lot of guys have sort of the same problems. It's good to get a different problem in here. And also, it's good to hear you talk about it, because guys on the call here are going to be, they're going to be hearing what learning this information and applying this information gets them, what kind of life it gets them, you know. And I'm pretty well known for this concept, and I said this in the first founding members call, that I had on one of my web pages, on one of my articles that I wrote, I just moved to a new city. I wanted to meet women. And so, you know, two weeks later, I had 4 girlfriends at the same time, you know, and they all knew about each other and they're all totally cool with it. Well, that was a lie. The truth is, I had 7 girlfriends at the same time and they all knew about each other, but I just didn't think guys would believe that, you know, so I didn't write that down.
Right.
You know, so, I had to dumb it down really to something that was believable, because that was just outrageous, you know? It's true. I had 7 girlfriends in New York at the same time. And for some reason, I could never get over 7. It was like when a new one came in, I was like, oh, 8, yes. And then I'd get a text right then. It was like, hey, I just met somebody. He's amazing. This has been really fun, but we got to stop it. I was like, shit, back to 7 again, you know? It was really strange. And I had it in North Carolina, too, as soon as I learned how to be polyamorous there. So absolutely an amazing thing that you're doing here. Really happy. In fact, I would really love to hear your progress over time. So make sure you stay in the Founding Members Club. And if you can make it out to Vegas in October, we do have, by the way, I'm not announcing these dates to most people. I'm just announcing them to people on this call right now, because we don't have the place locked down yet. We're still deciding which hotel to go to. But in October, on the, I'm just looking at my calendar, 15th and 16th of October, I'll be teaching a live event in Las Vegas. And of course, you're a founding member, so you get to come for free. So, if you can make it.
I'm planning to be there.
Cool. Oh, great. Yeah. Fantastic. So all you need to do, whenever it comes time, when you see it, it'll be a founding member's email first. So I get all the founding members in first. And then after that, I'll open it to the rest of the guys who've bought the Tao of Badass and are followers. Yours is free, and you have to put down a deposit so I can make sure you're going to be there. Then I give it back when you get there. So it's just a $100 deposit. It's nothing. So I'll let you know like where to get a hotel and all that crap too. But you guys can go ahead and buy your flights if you want to. Because it'll be in Las Vegas in the 15th and 16th. But before you do buy your flights, make sure that you know that on the 14th, I'm having a private event that's only 10 guys. So I'm going to have a closed-door session all day long with just 10 guys. It's like a mastermind group. And this sort of attraction mastermind with me is going to be me, Brad, and then 10 dudes. And then that's it. So I'm closing the door on that. That's $500 for founding members, and then $1,000 for everybody else. So if you do want to get in on that, definitely let me know ahead of time. So first off, you need to know to fly in a day early. But as soon as I release it, it's going to go really quick. We'll probably fill up all 10 spots just from founding members. So if you do want to do that, shoot Brad an email again, brad@thedaoofbadass.com, and he will put your name down on a waiting list. So when it does become available, we'll send it to you first. So keep that in mind. It's the cheapest shit. I mean, that's a great, great deal. I charge $10,000 for a weekend with me. So I just wanted to let you know that. So if you do want to do it, I'm happy to do it with my founding members, because you're my people, you know, and you get my personal coaching. So it's really good. So if you're going to be there, awesome. I'd love to meet you. I can't wait, DL. Excited about that. So, and I would also love to just sort of hear your progress over time, because you're going to have a lot of really cool problems moving forward. And I love to be able to talk about that stuff because it's really exciting for me. So, so anyway, man, thanks so much for asking. That's a really great question. And I really appreciate you taking the time to sort of express that and share it with everybody, because I know it's sometimes difficult to share personal shit with people that you don't know. So,
Thank you.
Oh, cool, man. Thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and mute you again here. All right. So I got one last question, and then I got to split. I'm actually 2 minutes over, but I had the whole wine debacle in the beginning. So I have a little bit of extra time. I'll go over here. It says, let's see. Okay. I just want to read through it first. It says, Carlos Zuma says that women will act cold after a couple of dates to test your confidence and reactiveness. He also says they act out often to test your persistence and commitment to the relationship to see if you'll stay, sort of. What's your take on this, and how do I know if she's actually becoming disinterested, because the signs appear to be the same? Well, first off, Carlos is a genius. Second off, the point of them doing this is that it feels the same. I mean, if it doesn't feel the same, then we'd be able to tell the difference. So it's going to always feel the same to you. You won't be able to tell absolutely the difference between whether or not she's testing you and whether or not she's actually disinterested. Because the truth is, she doesn't even know she's testing you. She's not that consciously aware of what she's doing. Instead, she feels the need to be disinterested, and so she does. So she doesn't have any idea. It's just, it's totally in her subconscious. It's sort of doing this for her. And Carlos would agree with this. I know Carlos. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever met. And by the way, he just launched a program, I think relaunched the Secrets of the Alpha Man Platinum version, which has got a bunch of awesome stuff on it. If you haven't gotten that, definitely grab it. It's awesome. I've seen it. It's amazing material. And he's one of the more brilliant guys. You know, there's a lot of BS out there, but Carlos is definitely not in that category. So definitely check that out. But
if you want a link to the interview that you did with Carlos, they can email me too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That should be on an interview page. We have an interview page for all those, and they will be on the resources page. Maybe even by the end of this call, we'll have that. Not by the end of this call, but maybe by the end of the day today,
sure,
we'll have that in the resources section. So like Brad's like, sure, let me write that down. So anyway, the point is that, yes, Carlos is really smart. So this is my take on that. First off is that he's absolutely right about that. And my elaboration on it is that women don't know what they're doing when they do it. So it's going to always appear to be disinterest, always. So what you need to do is, anytime you're talking to a girl and she appears to be disinterested, what you want to do then is treat it as if it's just a test, right? Because treating it like it's a test will get you over all the tests. If she's truly disinterested, then she's disinterested. And it's not, you know, passing her test isn't going to make her more interested, because she's not trying to test you. So you always treat it like it's a test. Always attempt to sort of overcome that test. Now, if she's not showing interest and she's sort of being cold or whatever, to try to see whether or not you're going to be super needy, which women do this, by the way. They will do this, especially extremely hot women will do this, especially. This is why women, what we're really testing here is to see whether or not you are, this was a fluke for you. Whether you attracted a really attractive woman or who, you know, she thinks she's attractive. So you attracted her, and if she doesn't talk to you, if you're going to sit there and chase after her forever, it means that this was a fluke. It was not something you do all the time, and it's not something you could repeat. And so you'll always be there, and she has enough room to leave and like do whatever she wants to, right? So instead of doing that, what you need to do is match her level of disinterest. Like, she doesn't call you for a week, don't call her. Don't worry about it. She doesn't write you, doesn't text you. Cool, let it go for 2 weeks at least, 2 weeks, before you finally go, hey, I just realized that you exist. Where the hell are you? You know, are you okay? You know, I just realized I haven't heard from you in like a week. You know, or you write, oh my God, I met your twin. This is my favorite pre-engagement text. Holy crap, I just met your twin. And then write, except her name is, don't say this girl's name. So if her name's Jamie, don't use Jamie, but except her name's Jamie, and she dances. She's a professional dancer, right? So this presupposes a lot of shit. First off, that you just met another girl who looks just like her. Meaning that if it looks for the reason why you are attracted to her in the first place, you've now got another option that's just as awesome, and you already talked to her as well, and you know intimate details about her life. So she's automatically going to assume that this girl, this other hot girl who looks just like her, is attracted to you because she was attracted to you in the first place. So she's going to assume that the other girl's attracted to you too. She looks just like her, so there'll be no difference in choice for you, and that you've already talked to her and built rapport with her a little bit to get to know her a little bit. So if she's going to come back, she's going to come back right then. She's going to be like, haha, it's so funny. That's so cute. Hey, what are you doing next week? No, she's going to go right into it. If she doesn't do that, then don't worry about it. You know, let her go. Never, ever, ever erase a girl's phone number from your phone. Never do that. Guys do this all the time, and it's just stupid. What ends up happening is you erase a girl's number from your phone, and then later on she texts you, and you have no idea who she is, and you say, who is this? And she goes, oh my God, this guy erased my number from his phone. He must have been super pissed. He must have been super reactive. What a loser, you know? And you don't want to come across like that. Never do that. And plus, you know, you can always shoot out a re-engagement text, you know, even as far as 2 months later, after you haven't talked to her for 2 months. And, you know, it won't hurt you in any kind of way. Just don't text her every day. Text her like maybe once every couple of weeks or once a month or later. You know, as time goes on, you text her less and less and less. I've had a girl text me a year after I had met her. I met her, like, oh my God, let me get your number, blah, blah. And then a year later, she texted me. She goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I moved to India, some stupid thing, reason, right? I moved to India, I didn't have a phone, and I should let you know. Anyway, if you're not angry and you still want to hang out, I'd love to meet you. And I was like, sure, you know, we hung out, we ended up dating. So it's definitely something that you want to allow to happen. Your phone's not going to run out of space, you know. If it does, write down the numbers, you know.
We can put that the re-engagement text in the resources page as well.
Well, you know, what I'd like to do is actually create a product about this, so because it's a lot of information. So I'd love to go over texting and, you know, a little bit of online dating, not too much because I don't really do that too much, but I definitely would like to teach people how to crack the sugar daddy code, which is amazing. But ultimately, we can do that. We can put that if you took notes and you wrote that statement down, then just email it to Brad@thedowofbadass.com, and Brad will go ahead and post it up on the resources page so everybody can see it. So anyway, that's it. That's the last question I had time for. We got a split here, unfortunately. So I'm gonna go ahead and split. We had one more question left, but I'm gonna get it next time. And if you do have any questions for the next call over the next 2 weeks, make sure you ask them in the on the page, or write them down and raise your hand when you get here, and we'll go ahead and make that happen. We'll get you on the phone here. We'll talk to you. So. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being part of the Founding Members Club. Can't wait to see and meet all you guys in October. That small group is going to fill up really, really fast. So if you do want to be a part of it, definitely let me know. There's only 10 people allowed in that group. And then the Founding Members Club is going to be several, lots and lots of people. So for that actual event. So definitely check it out. It'll be in Vegas in October. If you're listening to a recording of this is October of 2011. So... so if you are listening to a recording, remember that it may be behind you. So anyway, check it out. I'll have ways for people to jump on board to that pretty soon. And I'll see you guys there till, next couple of weeks from now. I think it's 2 weeks till the next call, and the 25th is the next Founding Members call. Until then, you'll get notices. We'll let you know. Until then, take care. Learn to see the matrix, learn to see these different states of interaction. And take it to the next level, guys. Talk to you then. Bye.